Each and every week here on the Golf Exchange, it's time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by our good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick. This had to be the first topic because I teased it going out of the last segment. So we got to get to it first because I know listeners are right by their radios with bated breath waiting to hear how Phil Mickelson blew it this year. So that story right now. Phil Mickelson, of course, playing in this weekend's Skins game, one of Pat Rooney's favorites.
And must-see TV.
And during pressers earlier this week out in Indian Wells, he was talking about his season. He was asked about his season by the writers out there, and he said that this season without an injured Tiger Woods playing a full schedule was a missed opportunity for him, and that he has been working doggedly to solve his putting woes. Mickelson won only twice in 2008, and both of those wins came in the first 5 months of the year. The Northern Trust Open in February and the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial in May. So he didn't win any majors this year. Obviously, he hasn't won any majors for the last couple of years since that meltdown at Wingfoot in the 06 U.S. Open. His last major one was the 06 Masters. Phil Mickelson said, quote, "The only way I can look at it is that I didn't play my best this year," end quote. He said, "This offseason will be all about improving." Pat, will Phil Mickelson look back on his career 10, 20, 30 years down the line? He'll count his total majors, and will he always think that that total majors number should have been greater by at least one more because of this year?
I'm going to try to be diplomatic here because, you know, Phil Mickelson is top three player in the world, which obviously, you know, means that he's a great player. And as you mentioned, has won majors in the past. But I don't think you can, and I don't know exactly the context of how he said that. But of course, I'll blow it up and pretend like he said it, you know, extremely cockedly and, you know, said that, you know, he really blew it this year. First of all, he's not playing against Tiger head to head in something that, because Tiger's not there, that now, you know, he should be able to win these things. He's still playing against 100 other golfers that are really good. So I don't think he can just sort of say, well, it's always been just me against Tiger, and because he wasn't there, I should have won all these things. As you mentioned, Russ, he hasn't won anything since the meltdown at Wingfoot, which I thought would be a real psychological burden to carry for him for the next couple years to get over that, which is proved to be true.
Yeah, it has proven to be true, exactly.
So, I don't think he can sort of say, oh, you know, I blew it this year because I didn't win anything, the two majors that Tiger didn't play in. You know, I should have automatically won that. I think that's putting a lot of, you want to have confidence, but at the same time, that's a little bit arrogant on Phil's part because, you know, he hasn't been playing that well, especially in majors. He just mentioned his putting, and the fact that you're dismissing, you know, 50 to 100 other golfers out there that are could be playing well that week and just saying, oh, just because I show up, I should beat them. Phil's not in that stratosphere that, you know, now if Tiger could say, hey, I missed a chance to win two majors that I didn't play in. That's legit because he won the one he played in this year on a broken leg, and the other one he came in second. So Tiger could say something like that and have it have some legitimacy. But Phil, especially the way he's been playing, I don't think that carries much credibility with me.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, Pat. I think I totally agree with you for once here in this discussion. I totally agree. I think Phil Mickelson, it seems awfully cocky to me, echoing your comments, for him to say, man, I blew it because I should have won one of those majors. Hey, Padraig Harrington right now is a much better golfer than Phil Mickelson is. So Padraig was still in those majors, and he won both of those majors. So for Phil to say he blew it, you know, dude, win a major, man.
And did Phil come in second in those two?
No.
So it's not like he was right there.
Listen, and you mentioned the blow up at Wingfoot being a psychological, you know, burden to him. He had a hot 3-year stretch. He won the 04 Masters. He won the 05 PGA Championship. Then he won the 06 Masters. I mean, 3 years in a row. He was almost halfway through the calendar Grand Slam at Wingfoot, and then he blew it. That is going to mess him up. And I'll tell you what, if you want to pick one little, you know, blip in a person's life and say that was a fork in the road and he went one way where, you know, if one swing of the club could have been different, he might have gone the other. That's it, because I think Wingfoot is probably going to lessen Phil Mickelson's total number of majors in his career by at least two or three. Just that one. I mean, look how much it's ruined the last 3 years of his golf career, psychologically.
Absolutely, and I think you're right. One swing can do stuff like that to certain guys who, you know, they're mentally strong just to get to that point. But man, everybody's got a certain level that they get to. And Phil got uncomfortable on that 18th tee because he's wanted to win the U.S. Open so badly, and he knew Tiger wasn't in that tournament. And all he had to do was get a bogey, I think, and he would have won the thing.
Yeah, made double and lost it.
And you know, you can't help if you're human to look back on that and be like and dwell on that, probably to the detriment of your being able to play successfully in future majors.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. We are immersed in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discuss a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, of course, by our good friends at the PGA National Resort and Spa.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you. Speaking of major winners, two-time major winner John Daly, played this week down at the Australian Masters. Of course, he missed the cut. But, you know, he got a sponsor's exemption into this thing. And usually you'll get some people that will complain about, you know, because of Daly's, recent transgression, shall we say, that he shouldn't be getting these exemptions. But usually they're made from us, like sports writers
media people,
not usually from his peers. Well, that changed this week. Stuart Appleby, you know, one of those Australian, really good golfers, ranked 35th in the world, told reporters that he didn't think bringing Daly to play down under was the best idea, but understood the reasoning behind it. And Appleby said, "John Daly is unique. As players, we only wish that he put a little bit more into his game and less time into ruining his personal life. He would be a draw card, not just a free card, because he's so gifted. It's a joke." Appleby added that Daly's personal life detracts from his stature as a professional golfer. Went on to say, "That has got to the stage now where that's who John Daly is. His game hasn't been the level that he wants it, but I don't think John is here because of his world ranking. He's a walking train wreck, and unfortunately people turn their heads to watch a train wreck." Russ, what do you think of Appleby's comments?
Oh, Stuart Appleby, let me stand up and give you a standing ovation. I mean, thank goodness that finally one of the high-ranking players in the world has enough guts to come out and say how he feels, because I guarantee you, Pat, half of the PGA Tour feels this exact way. They're just sick and tired of seeing John Daly, you know, continue to ruin his life, and they're more sick and tired of seeing, you know, it's almost like PGA Tour events talking out of both sides of their mouth, saying in one hand and in one breath, "Man, John Daly, it's such a disappointment. You know, he should act better. You know, what is he doing with his life?" And then on the other hand, in the other breath, saying, "Hey, come to our PGA Tour event. We'll give you an exemption because you're going to draw a lot of fans to the gate, and we're going to make a lot of money because of that." You know, John Daly, and this is a perfect example, Pat, this weekend at the Australian Masters, where, as you mentioned, he missed the cut. He is getting to a point where everywhere he goes, on every stop of his season, he's got a checkered past at that stop. And this week in Australia, it's the same way. Back in 2002, he threw his putter and ball into the water after shooting a 78. He had received a $200,000 appearance fee to play in Australia 6 years ago, but he was disqualified for failing to sign his card after he shot that 78 and threw his putter and ball in the water. And he was fined $5,600 and ordered to write an apology to a tour official that he verbally abused. So part of Stuart Appleby's outrage coming this week was talking about John Daly getting this exemption. Well, part of it was 6 years ago in Australia, what he did then, you know, and Appleby saying, "Well, geez, don't you guys remember the last time he was here, what he did?" John Daly is such a sad commentary of a guy who had so much talent. I mean, everyone realizes that he's got top five talent of anyone in the world. I mean, he's got almost as much talent as Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods, and he could be that good, but he never will be because of his attitude and because he continues to you know, comport himself in a very damaging and dangerous way.
And you notice, Russ, that Daly, kind of like Plaxico Burress or Pac-Man,
who shot
Jones,
himself in the thigh yesterday?
Always, this goofy stuff always seems to happen to guys like this. And then they always have like a sort of la-ti-da excuse about it. Like, you know, Daly talking about the Hooters thing, like, "Oh, it got completely blown out of proportion. You know, I wasn't that drunk or uncooperative," and blah, blah, blah. And it's acting like it's not that big of a deal. All right, if it happens to you once in your life or twice,
right,
everybody can be in the wrong place at the wrong time and something happens. But this happens almost every month with John. Something goofy always seems to happen with him, And you're right. He's got past incidences here in Australia where he really behaved poorly and got fined and verbally, like you said, verbally abused an official, blah, blah, blah. I'm just glad somebody like Stuart Appleby, who will probably get somehow, because a lot of people still like John, and you know, he'll get some kind of backlash from this, from some segment of either other professional golfers or part of society that, you know, oh, he deserves another chance and everything else. At some point, Rush, you don't get another chance, and right. You don't deserve it. And it's an embarrassment to keep giving John exemptions until he proves at least over a year and probably a 2-year period that he can remain sober and out of trouble. It's really sad that sponsors will give this guy an exemption just because of his name right. and the fact that he won previous majors. I think it's sad. It's a sad commentary.
Really. I used to be a John Daly fan.
Man, I mean, me too. I was huge.
4 years ago when he took Tiger to a playoff at the Amex when they played at Harding Park in San Francisco. I mean, he had gotten his world ranking all the way back up to like 50th or something like that. I mean, I was rooting for John Daly. And now 4 years later, I've come full circle. I just can't stand the guy. And I guess if I'd come full circle, I would have become back to being a fan. So I've gone 180.
It's 360.
Let's call it 180. So much turkey in my system that I'm not thinking straightly.
I am the same way, Russ. This guy could do no wrong in my, you know, just like you said, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, I was still like, man, I'm hoping John can turn this thing around. But now it's like he's completely turned me off. There was a score thing on the crawl of Golf Channel that actually said he shot 67 in the first round of this Australian Masters, and it was incorrect. I think he shot 76. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, I don't want John to succeed with this mindset because he'll think I can keep doing it. I can keep screwing around and get away with it because he shot the 62 or whatever,
right.
Something ridiculous.
Well, I was just going to say that. A week ago in Hong Kong, he shot 62 on a final round Sunday and got himself into a top 20. He has these flashes of brilliance where you can still see he's got so much damn talent that he doesn't even have to practice, and he could stroll out of bed half drunk, you know, lit from the night before with a hangover, and go out and shoot a 10-under par 62.
That shows you his talent, but it also, I don't want it to validate his own internal belief that, oh, I can still do what I'm doing and shoot 62. That's what I don't want to have happen. John needs to completely clean himself up, and then I'll start rooting for him again. But, he can roll, like you're saying, roll out of bed and shoot 62, and it's great. It's like an everyman and blah. No, it's a horrible example for our kids and everybody else that's trying to do it the right way.
What it tells me most is how big of a waste of talent it is.
Exactly,
he's got so
right.
much talent.
You should be glorifying it. You right. should be pitying it, like you're saying, because it is a waste.